Let's look to the Lord in prayer, shall we? Father, as we've come to this portion of our service, we, with anticipation, are looking forward to seeing what you have for us in your word. Your word is life to us. And I pray that each of our hearts would be ready to receive what you have for us. I pray that you might get the glory and that you would strengthen and enable me, that I would say what I ought to say and keep me from saying what is not true or what you don't intend to be said. We're going to look to you. Thank you for it. In your name I pray. Amen. If you would take your Bibles and turn to Philippians chapter 1, that's the portion that we want to look at this evening. And for you note takers, and you like titles, let's call this one Turning the Table on Your Troubles. Turning the table on your troubles. Here's some things as before we actually look at some verses here in Philippians chapter 1. Is it possible for us as a Christian to live in such a way that oppositions we face become opportunities to serve the Lord? Is it possible for a Christian in the midst of trials, because we're talking about turning the table on our troubles, is it possible to seize chances that these troubles and trials bring rather than succumb to the circumstances and just fold up under them? Is it possible that we can take these trials that we face and discover that rather than them being stumbling blocks in our journey for the Lord, we can make them stepping stones to become more like Him? Well, we're going to see such a case here in Philippians chapter 1, and we've got three verses that's our goal this evening, verses 12, 13, and 14. Very familiar portion from the Apostle Paul. And we've, as far as our outline is concerned, let's notice number one, the trials. The trials Paul had faced here. And where are we going to find that? 12a, if you like to document where we're going to be looking at. The trials. But you should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me. We're going to stop right there. The topic that Paul is going to be addressing in these verses are just the things that he has called things which have happened to me. What was happening to the Apostle Paul? Well, for number one, Do you know where Paul was when he wrote this letter? He was in prison. That's a nice place to be, isn't it? I'm not going to ask for a show of hands how many of you have been in prison before or jail before, but I can't really imagine that it would be the most pleasant place to be. Paul was not in prison because of anything he had done wrong. The only reason Paul was in prison is because he was doing everything right as far as the Lord was concerned. He was in prison because of his stand and his testimony for the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, penned in prison, and we find that news traveled around concerning the opposition to the gospel. People knew why he was in prison. And Paul well knew of the trials in the Christian experience. He knew what trouble was all about. You say, well, I know what trouble's all about too. Man, I just can't get my lawnmower to run. Or, I'm having trouble with this and I'm having trouble with that. That's not the kind of trials that Paul was having. He had done everything he ought to be doing, and yet he was in jail just simply because he identified himself with the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, I know when our Lord was here, he taught his disciples that if you're going to be a follower of me, here's what you need to expect. You're going to have to expect rejection, opposition. If they have rejected and opposed me, don't think it's going to be any different for you if you name my name and claim my name. So we find that Paul was there because he was a Christian trying to live a faithful life for the Lord. So we see the trials, number one. And remember, I mentioned just a moment ago, he knew all about trials. Let's look at some of the places where he made reference to this in some of his other letters that he wrote. For instance, let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. And we pick up at about verse 23. 2 Corinthians 11, 23, and he said, "Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. In labors, more abundant. In stripes or beatings, above measure. In prisons, more frequent. In deaths, oft." In other words, even in that first 23rd verse, he said, "I have been beaten more times than I can even remember the count anymore." He said, in prison, frequent, and in death, deaths oft. What's he mean by that? In those situations where it looked like what? He was going to lose his life. Have any of you experienced anything like that? Paul, this was life to him. We go on. Verse 24. Of the Jews, five times I received 40 stripes, save one. You know, the Old Testament law said that no man could be beaten beyond 40. The Jews thought, well, we're not going to press the full measure and the full, we're not going to take the law to the limit. The law says we can lay 40 stripes on him, but we'll only put 39. We're not going to take the full extent of what the law allows. They were proud of that. Sounds kind of Pharisaical. But he said, five times that's happened to me. Three times in 25, I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. We know we have reference to that in the book of Acts. And what was the result of that stoning? Do you remember? It is believed that they actually stoned him to death. They drug his body outside the city limits. And while the believers were standing around, the Lord revived him. It is commonly believed that they stoned him to death and the Lord just returned his life to him. Three times I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep. He was just floating around out there in the sea a whole day and a night. How would you like that? I think I'd get tired of treading water. How about you? There he was. In journeyings often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils by my own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, the Gentiles, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, excuse me, in perils among false brethren. Excuse me, I'm going to have to go get a drink just like my wife did. Maybe she can get a drink for me. If she takes to an extra swallow, it'd do me some good. In weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Hey, what do you think of that list of the things that he had experienced because he was a follower of the Lord? I can't hold a candle to anything that I've ever even thought about experiencing. And here we see Paul listing it all off, and I love this in verse 28. Besides, let's just kind of modernize it a little bit. Besides all of that, he says, besides those things that are without that I've just listed here, he said, on top of that which cometh upon me daily, which is the care and the concern and the load of responsibility on his shoulders to oversee all the churches that he had been instrumental in starting. Besides what's without, that was bad enough. The emotional strain, the stress, and all of that that goes with the ministry. Paul, we find that physical problems, they were something he was very well familiar with. What a list. Chapter 12, verse 7, he says, "And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, lest I should be exalted above measure." On top of everything else that he mentioned, well, thank you, Jim. Everything else that he mentioned in that list of what he was experiencing, I'm going to let you set it right up there. I don't dare take it with my shaky hands. They don't call me Shaky Jake for nothing. Thank you, Jim. You thought I was kidding. Thank you. Anybody want a drink? You can drink on that side. I haven't drank out of that side yet, but it's ice. It's even got ice in it, too. Well, thank you so much. On top of all of that, everything, then he says, "And the Lord had a special plan for me." In chapter 12 of 2 Corinthians, he talked about he wasn't sure if he actually saw this because he had died, actually went to heaven and saw the Lord, or whether it was a vision. He wasn't really sure, but he said the bottom line is, God has given me all kinds of revelations, and to keep me humble, to keep me from getting the big head, over everything that he has shown me, God sent me a thorn in the flesh so that I would just keep my focus the way it ought to. You see, he was familiar with all kinds of physical problems. Let me ask you, how could Paul keep going with all the physical problems that we've listed, and we're going to find more lists? What was the key to anybody with regard to what you and I may experience? What is the key to turning the table on all of our troubles? It all depends upon what? It's an A word. Attitude. Attitude. We think of that list that I gave us here in 2 Corinthians 11. There is no way someone could have gone through all of that and still keep praising and serving the Lord if their heart attitude was not right. I don't care who they are. 2 Corinthians 4, verses 8 through 11. Let's see some more things Paul mentioned. Now we start at verse 7, and he says here, "We have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us." He's talking about the treasure of what? The ministry, being able to serve the Lord. And Paul said, from the get-go, we need to understand that God has given us just plain old earthen vessels. Our bodies are bodies of what? Dirt. That really makes you feel good, doesn't it? We get pretty proud of these old bodies, but bottom line is, when you cut to the chase and you go right down to the basic, what's it, what did God make us out of? Dust of the ground. We're nothing but a bunch of dirt. bunch of dirt. And Paul said, we need to keep that in mind. And God has not, he could have given us angelic bodies. He could have given us some kind of supernatural bodies. But he said, God gave us these bodies of just earth, dirt, so that all the glory will go to God. That God can use these old bodies of clay of ours and still get glory, much more glory than if we would have had supernatural bodies that were not subject to any difficulties or trials. Having said that, let's look at verse 8. He says, we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are we are perplexed, but we don't despair. We're persecuted, but not forsaken. We're cast down. Yeah, we are, but we're not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake. Huh. You want to read something to get your morning started and to give you a good jump start for tomorrow morning? Why not read 11a? We which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake. That'll get your day going, won't it? He says, we are delivered. Why are we always delivered unto death? That the life of Jesus might be made manifest or shown or demonstrated where? In our mortal flesh. It's all attitude. This list. Yeah, we got trouble, but we're not distressed about it. Yeah, we're perplexed, but you know, we haven't thrown in the towel and thrown up our arms in despair, and he went right on. He said, we know that every day we're delivered unto death for Jesus' sake. We face these trials just so that he might get the glory. And you know, if we could begin to take that attitude toward perhaps some of the experiences that we're struggling with, Lord, you know what I'm struggling with. You know the difficulty of this. And I know you could take it away if you chose to, but you haven't. And so I therefore realize that you have brought this my way. You have put this on my plate for a reason. Help me to trust you. Help me to look to you, depend upon you, not complain about it, but help me to accept it and glorify you in my response to it. So we see here, he could not stop the trials from happening, but he could use them for the cause of Christ, even to the point of using his difficulties to encourage and comfort others. Let's look at 2 Corinthians. Chapter 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. And we pick up at verse 13. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. He's praising the Lord. Remember, even our Sunday school hour this morning, as we looked at, as the Lord taught his disciples how to pray, What was the initial thing that the Lord taught his disciples? Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. The praise and the adoration to the Lord. That's what Paul does here in verse 3. Blessed be the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our trials, our trouble, our tribulation, that we might be able to do what with those? We might be able to comfort them which are in any trouble. By the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. Whether we're afflicted, what's he say? It's for you. It's for your consolation and salvation, which is effectual in the enduring of the same sufferings which we suffer. Whether we be comforted, it's for your consolation and salvation. What's he saying? In that sixth verse, it doesn't matter what happens to us. If we're facing trials, it's for your good. Or if we discover that we are experiencing God's comfort and encouragement to us, same result for you. It's still for your comfort. Our hope of you is steadfast, knowing that as you are partakers of the sufferings, so shall you also be of the consolation or the comfort and the encouragement. As we think of this, we see that the trials that he was facing here, Paul had a lot of them. We see them. He's listed them off. We saw that his attitude was key to whether these things were going to upset his apple cart or whether it all depended on the attitude which he took toward them. And we see, thirdly here, Paul writes, you know, we've really come to realize that God can get the glory in your benefit just by us sharing the trials, by testifying and sharing with you, brother, sister. You know, I was going through difficulties, but let me show you how God comforted me. And I know he's going to comfort you in the same way. Well, boy, our time is gone, but we're not done. How far did we get in those three verses? 12 what? A. Why don't you come back next week? Let's see if we can make a little progress. But in the meantime, let's stand and ask the Lord to help us take to heart what we have seen this evening. Our Father, we've only gotten partway in this, but I pray that we have gone far enough for us to realize that the trials and the difficulties that you bring our way can really be a blessing if our attitude will accept them as such. So many times, difficulties and trials, people allow those things to destroy them, discourage them, defeat them. But help us to remember how Paul considered these things, and rather than them being the end of him, he saw them as a means to the end of bringing glory to the Lord. Help us to apply this truth. Prepare us even for continuing on next week, should you tarry, and we have the opportunity to look at this portion once again in Paul's testimony of his own experience and what he went through. Use us this week for your glory and honor. We thank you in your name.